And but then that's what gets me excited. Like with the New Day thing, it's like it last week was absolutely heartbreaking. Last night was amazing. Like, you know, they've got, I never thought I'd say this, but Kofi and Woods have got Dominic Mysterio levels of heat.
I thought of the same thing.
Right now.
Yes.
Like, yeah. And
you've got Dominic heat.
And Dom's getting cheered. Like, what's all that about? Like, Dom's turning face. Oh, what?
The world's a crazy place. 2024 has been a
parallel timeline that we're working in. But,
Cal Williams opened up that portal.
Dude, Vaughn, thanks again, mate. It's good to see you, actually. I think it's been a while, hasn't it?
Since we chatted. It has. Like, since, what, maybe 40 at least? Somewhere around that time or whatever.
Yeah. That was a cold night.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because, you know, based off of, obviously, the profile name right here at the bottom, it's definitely going to be a New Day vigil, if you will. You know, it's an honor. Pour one out. Pour out a... You know, since I don't drink, I might as well pour out, half of iced tea lemonade or strawberry lemonade for New Day right now. You know what I mean? Because
hey, whatever coping mechanisms we need to get through the next 100%. It's a therapy session. It's a coming together where we're trying to process still a week later what has happened. The biggest news in professional wrestling, I think it's fair to say. Something that we thought would never happen. As far as factions come and go. Members split up, as we know in the fantasy faction. People make draft changes, and other factions, they always come to an end. But we thought, I mean, if there's one faction, we thought this was solid. We thought this was a lock.
Forever.
So for listeners, I guess, who everyone obviously knows, you've not been hiding under a rock. About 8 days ago now was the harshest of breakups in pro wrestling history. The New Day, yes, I repeat, the New Day broke up. So I watched that live. I might have had a couple of libations watching it and got a bit emotional. So I reached out to a few people and I was like, we have to talk about this. We have to have a coming together. We need to process these feelings because this is this is big. So here we are today with King Vaughn Jr. from the Victorious Ones, a loyal fantasy faction member, been playing for a good couple of years at this point, mate.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
So, thank you for that.
Most definitely, man.
Dude, we're always like really happy, really like humble when other people take the time to engage with our stuff. I say it often, like, everyone's got their own stuff that they need to focus on, their own priorities, their own brands and their message and everything. So for anyone to take any time out of their day to get involved with us is great, mate. So thank you. Thanks 100%. Thanks for giving up some time on your Tuesday to, I guess we can't delay it anymore, can we? We gotta talk about it. We gotta get into it. Well, actually, before we get into the painful parts, I thought we'd all sort of talk about our favorite New Day moments over the years. I don't know if anyone has any, like a top one or a top three, just, you know, what has made you feel good about the New Day in the last 10 years? What great has come out of it?
All right. So as far as when it comes to the New Day, you know, as Big E used to say, don't you dare be sour. You know, and so it's just like, you know, that last week definitely made me feel very sour, ironically. But the thing is, when it comes to the New Day, I've, you know, for the longest time, I've considered them the greatest faction of all time because they were the longest running faction. And, you know, and the biggest hanging point was that, you know, was that they, you know, never broke up. But we'll so much for that now, right? But the thing is, like, when it comes to the New Day, I would say my favorite moments to me were when or Kofi Mania, you know, when Kofi won the title. I would say there was like a Hell in a Cell match that they had with the Usos. And also, number three, probably I'd probably say Big E when win the championship. At least it's definitely up there. You know what I mean? Like, I also like, you know, when New Day finally went face-to-face, head-to-head with the Shield, you know what I mean? So, yeah. So as far as that, and, you know, them, you know, as far, you know, I've gone past through, but the thing is, especially when it came to the way they kickstart things in terms of, being taken seriously when they, you know, got the victory over the Dudley Boys, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, that right there was just, like, the biggest launching pad that you could have. And look at where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think they were, it always felt like they, New Day were the closest we ever got to the kind of childish glee that we used to feel when Eddie Guerrero was in the ring, if that makes sense. You know, like the antics.
Oh, yeah.
In the, like, especially like with Woods, you know, at ringside with the trombone, or E, like, just, you know, like the memes and all that kind of stuff, but just that little bit of mischief, that kind of that little comedy element that used to come in. It was just always a real feel good, even if, you know, like with the Usos, you were saying, Vaughn, with the Hell in a Cell match and stuff like that. I mean, that match got intense.
Yeah,
but there was always just that feel good, that positivity around everything they did. They were just a real joy to watch at all times. Even like, you know, the Mania when they hosted and they introduced the Hardys. My God, like the excitement on their faces at that moment. And, you know that as professionals, I'm sure they probably wanted to be involved in that match. But probably them introducing the Hardys, actually, they probably wouldn't have traded that for the world. So yeah, it's just the antics. The antics I'm definitely going to miss.
Yeah.
You were talking there, Vaughn, about them being taken seriously. Sometimes in the WWE with superstars and the gimmicks, they sort of have to go through that the silly stage in order to. I don't know if the booking backstage wants them to sort of prove themselves. No, they can, you know, make fun of themselves before they get put into a better position. I think Chad Gable for a while has been quite, you know, in the comic-y sort of gimmick, but he's coming out of that now. Yeah. Chelsea Green is another one that comes to mind.
Kurt Angle,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle was fine, you know, making fun of himself, because you knew that talent was going to come through, and it did with the New Day. Once they were trusted more than being, I guess, you know, that churchy gimmick,
yeah,
at the start, yeah. And when they started being a little more goofy, the crowd responded more to that, because it seemed like they could be themselves out there, and that organic stuff was coming through. And then,
yes,
through various progressions of the characters and ideations, it got huge. And you talked there about Kofi Mania, not to sort of skip over years there, but ultimately that's what it led to. It led to a what was a movement at the time, like in all kinds of ways, like in a fan favorite kind of way, and I guess we could talk about the cultural aspects of it too.
Yes.
Where were you? I was in, I was at Legends Bar for 35. The Jobberteers had a watch party, and I was with a couple of friends in there. Where were you when Kofi won the title? Were you at the event?
No, I'm actually when Kofi won the title, I was actually here at home. I wasn't even at Legends Bar for that.
But I wondered if we were in the same building and didn't know about it.
Right? Yeah, I know. Right? Yeah, that would have been cool though. But the thing is to watch him, you know, like achieve that from a cultural standpoint, that meant so much. And I don't want to, you know, like I said, let's look at the giant pink elephant in the room. When it comes to when it comes to black wrestlers, especially to be respected, to be taken seriously, that means a whole lot. And for Kofi to win the way that he did, that was that, I mean, that carries so much weight, so much momentum. That's one of those all-time moments that can never be erased. And so, if like I said, for the phenomenon that it was, for the movement that became, I mean, like, obviously Kofi was a way better choice than having Mustafa Ali in that, have that run. So, but the thing is, like, for Kofi to win, and not only that, but who he beat, you know what I mean? Like, he beat, let's face it, Daniel Bryan's a living legend. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what. But, you know, but the thing is, that Kofi versus Bryan was the real main event of WrestleMania 35, you know, yeah, because by the time, no shade to the ladies, but by the time that triple threat match went on, a lot of people probably just almost fell asleep or someone was zoned out, like Orton and Triple H following up Shawn and Undertaker, you know what I mean? So, and I think that's what ultimately led to the whole, you know, that was a pivotal point in terms of like the two night mania. Mm-hmm. So that both shows could have a main event, because Kofi Mania, yeah. Kofi versus Bryan was the real main event. And so, you know what I mean? Like, and the thing is, with New Day, with them being together, it's like that helped all of their careers, you know? And so that,
yeah.
All right, what's up? Yeah. And so, like I said, that greatly benefited all three of their careers.
Hey, hey.
You good, Wes? Vaughn, I should introduce you properly to Wes real quick. So, and a shout out. So Wes is actually a writer. So he wrote this book here, Headphones and Heartache, and two subsequent books that you can get on Amazon. Always selling, Wes. Always selling.
Nice.
I like I said before we started recording, I had Wes come on today because he's such like a part of, I guess, my New Day journey. Not to say woo-woo and stuff, but I don't know. We kind of bonded over that at first, and then it's been 10-plus-year, well, yeah, like a 10-year relationship at this point.
See, 10 years. I just like having New Day people to talk wrestling with. You know, that's, I feel like that's harder, especially like, you know, I'm mid-30s. I think, Luke, you're a little bit, you're in my, I think we're all in roughly the same age range, right? In
our 30s. Pushing 40, yeah. Pushing 40.
Yeah, so like now, you know, I'm becoming the old head that my uncle was. Like when they'd be like, man, you didn't know about Jimmy Fly Snuka, or you ain't know about, you know, Bruno Sammartino. And like now I'm the guy that's like,
you don't know about Stone Cold.
Stone Cold, yeah. You know about The Rock. I'm like, yo, The Rock is the,
you didn't know about Naked Midian.
Yeah.
Just me.
Sexual chocolate. You know Hall of Fame Mark Henry. I know Mark Henry for smashing Mae Young. We're not the same.
I remember Austin 316.
I remember Al Snow.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh,
Billy
yeah,
and Chuck.
Awesome. Yeah.
Billy and Chuck.
So Vaughn, it's funny, we were just talking about the Kofi winning at Mania 35. You're right. I feel like that match did, so the booking of that did a discredit to, I guess, not only the women's main event, but the Kofi and Bryan match. Because if you put that women's match on earlier in the night, even it was very thrown together, like Charlotte being added in there and everything, then I guess that match could have got the energy from being maybe the opening of the night or in the middle of the card. But if you can lead it up to Bryan and Kofi in the main event, then you build up a lot of atmosphere and you perhaps keep the crowd awake.
Yes.
I was saying I'm glad I saw Mania 35 in a bar where I could, you know, go to the bathroom right there and get food from the bar and actually have, you know, a seat and some drinks brought to you. Because, that was the last really long event. But I feel like if done right, the booking of that show was a little questionable.
I think that was the Mania that was the catalyst for being two nights moving forward.
Yeah.
Because I remember the three that we went to, like particularly the first one in Dallas, which was 32, like it was 7 hours of straight wrestling. And then you throw in like the concerts, like, because it's a pop culture event as much as a wrestling event. And it was just hot, and it's like that was cool, but for this generation and how wrestling is with the storytelling, like, it works better as a two-night format. And, you know, they're going to make more than enough money, which is why I'm not going this year. Those prices are insane.
Was it 32? Was it 32 when you guys managed to get yourselves on the WWE promo afterwards, dressed as New Day?
Yeah.
Dressed as New Day, dancing as New Day. Do you know what? I saw that cameraman coming. I saw him filming other people. I was like, come on, boy, we got to stand up.
Honestly, how is it at your first WrestleMania? You get a cameraman, you get on the WWE promos. At my first one, we get some lunatic preacher who gets heckled by thousands of people instead.
So, I mean, that Mania for me, that one will always be like a special one because my nephew actually asked my wife to like let me go, and he kind of explained to her like how it had always been our dream as kids. And so I made like a whole thing out of it. Like, I got there earlier than everybody else. I made sure we had a place to stay. And like, I really use trips like that, especially like when I don't have the family with me, to like really explore culture. And so for 3 days, like, I really just got to explore, and I picked my nephew up. We drove to Houston, surprised his sister, spent the night there, came back, picked Luke up, and then like we just chilled. Like, we did In and Out and everything. And so that year, it's kind of really impressive how we threw that together at the last minute. I felt amazing. Like in our subsequent years, we were far more prepared, especially the next year, the second one. Like, we were rocking and ready. Like, that was a good one.
So, Wes, do you remember, I guess it was Mania 32, we had a couple of, to use Cody's word again, libations in the parking lot. And I feel like at that point, New Day was...
like, I would say that was their peak.
They were peaking because I remember dancing like all over the parking lot, doing the clapping dance and the whatever, and people were honking their horns, and everyone was doing it. Like, there was real excitement behind it at that time.
So what's funny is my journey with the New Day. So like after Ruthless Aggression era started, I kind of fell off of wrestling for a bit, like for a long time. And so like I would know like who John Cena was and know about it. Like, I would keep up like with who was who, but I wasn't like as invested at all. And what brought me back to it was Daniel Bryan and the Yes Movement. And that just reminded me so much of, you know, what I loved about wrestling, how like authentic it felt. Because as a kid, like, I mean, I'm in my mid-30s, like, we didn't have dirt sheets. We didn't have access to that. So, like, there was a real surprise element to things. And so I tell that story for this. So, like, I'm driving through Colorado Springs, which is where I live, and I noticed that the World Arena there, SmackDown, was coming. And I'm like, yo, I always wanted to go to SmackDown. We could never afford it as a kid. We only show I ever went to as a kid was a WCW house show at the sports arena in LA, and it was like shit. And I remember this one kid in my section, we were way the fuck up top, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to curse. And so like there was one kid that like loved Norm Smiley, remember him, the black wrestler? And he was so excited to see him, and I'm like, yo, this guy is mid-card at best, but he's got this like super fan up here. And so I bought tickets to the SmackDown, and that was the first time I ever saw a New Day. And I knew who Kofi was. And so to see them, and like, people hated it because it was like the gospel part. Remember how the early part was like heavy on the gospel? But what I loved about it was like, they didn't care. Like, they were just selling it. Like, they were really going for it. And I was like, okay, I can root for these guys. This is fun if it figures it out. And man, they figured it out. I'm not ready for it to be over. Like, I'm not even counting this. Honestly, like, what's happening? Like, I think New Day was done when Big E got injured. Like, this is gonna break my heart.
Is this something of a denial phase? We're having a therapy session here. Is this a stage of denial? Would we say? Or had you had, Did the breakup already come? Were you emotionally separated?
I think I've already been emotionally, yeah. I think that's what it was, because they haven't been at the forefront for a really long time. Like, if this had happened, like, somewhat near their peak, or, like, after they went through it with the Usos, or honestly, like, I thought it would have been a catalyst for, like, Big E turning on them when Kofi was champion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that would have been the time to do it.
Would have been that time, yeah.
And yeah, because it felt like for ages, it felt like everyone was waiting for the turn, weren't they? Like, everyone was speculating, and for like years, everyone was like, Big E, this is when Big E turns, and he never did. And this is where they lost the titles. This is it. He's going to turn. He never did. And they were like, no, like, it's never going to happen. The fact that it came and it's the other way around, like, and it was just, oh my God, it was so brutal. Like, I can't relive it. I can't. It was just,
I mean,
savage.
The last thing that really hit me emotionally was probably the Jericho Festival of Friendship. That was the last one that, like, really hit me in the feels. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they haven't really done, like, and, I mean, I'm not saying that was a surprise heel turn, because I think everybody kind of knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't done, like, a big, like something like big with a heel turn in a really long time. And I think that's what's coming when it'll probably be something with the Bloodline. That's my bet. It's something with either The Rock or with Paul Heyman or something like that. Like,
yeah, there's teasers that WrestleMania season will be.
They need to start telling the story. Yeah. It's time for The Rock to come back. I don't think we'll see him until that first Raw on Netflix.
Yeah.
That's my bet.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course we make the Netflix about him. Of course. Yeah,
100%. 100%.
But, like, my big worry is I think they're going to end up... I don't want Rock versus Cody at Mania. Like, I'm honestly, like, kind of over Cody as champion. Like, he's like a mid-version of Cena. He just sells a lot of... merch.
He might lose it. There's strong talk he might lose it this weekend, but we'll get into that in a bit. Strong talk he might lose it.
Do you think there's any chance that Big E has been quietly cleared? And this is all long building to a New Day Mania match? Or
that was something. My first thought.
Is E cleared? Yeah.
Because, like, they don't
completely cleared.
They don't put you in front of the camera. Like, they wouldn't do something like that unless, like, he's gonna go off. And you know what I mean? Like, that's the feel it had. It you know what it reminded me of? When Triple H attacked Shawn Michaels, and he's like it has those vibes. It's like, oh, you think I can't defend myself, type John?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And I can see the moment in the Rumble of Kofi and Woods working together, getting a couple of cheap eliminations, like everyone's booing, and then Big E's music hits. Do you know what I mean? That him coming in and eliminating those two would be the thing, I think.
That's a good 7-8 weeks from now. The Rumble. So, like, let this New Day heat cook up a little bit. Like, they can't leave us this dissatisfied if Big E doesn't come back. The only way this works now, or the maximum you can make this is, you know, Woods and Kofi are just ultimate heels, and then E is just the massive baby face going forward. If he were to come back, but yeah, I don't know. I think he might be secretly cleared.
Could be.
Vaughn, what say you?
As far as Big E,
we
think he might be secretly cleared.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, it's gonna happen! It's gonna happen!
I think so. Like, I mean, because the thing about it, sorry for the technical difficulties, but the thing about it is that like, you know, it's like, what else would they, would they parade him out there, and then and then do the reverse Uno card and plan his face like that, you know, other than for him to get to eventually get his revenge. Because Big E even said himself that, you know, that he wanted to be a manager, at least in his own words. He was like, you know, until I'm clear, you know, I want to serve as by being a manager. And so I'm thinking that he could be secretly clear and just, you know, just kind of play, you know, sort of like the end game, if you will, you know, like, you know, if you will, like, you know, going into Vegas, because, you know, like I said, they want to make this the biggest WrestleMania that they've ever had thus far, if you will. They say that all the time, right? But you know, mm-hmm. but what other way to, you know, like, you know, to really stack the deck, if you will, you know, by having Big E as the wild card, if you will, you know, like, you know, as far as two-on-one at WrestleMania, or, you know, New Day triple threat type of thing, you know, so I could at least see that.
I think this is going to be the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
Yeah.
Oh, don't say that. I'm not going.
No, the reason I say that is, like, it's literally the ticket prices. Once I saw those, I'm like, yo, if y'all charging this, that means y'all mm-hmm. really got, like, it's the same thing in baseball or soccer. Like, you sign the big star, then things get more expensive, ticket prices, things like that. If you're mm-hmm. charging us this, that means you're paying The Rock. You know what I mean? Like, that means it, real talk, that means you're going to get a match or two out of him. Like,
yep.
There's no reason to do it. And then people are buying it too. Like, there's no way they bring The Rock back there. And now they're doing the big blowout with the New Day. We're going to see Seth and CM Punk. Like, it's, mm-hmm. they're really good. They're going to give us that mania.
You're going to see somehow away. You're going to get Austin, because he's no excuse for not turning up, given that right. he lives down the road. Plus, again, like you say, Wes, you know, apparently, if the rumors are true, the only reason he wasn't at the last Mania was because the money wasn't right. Yes. And they've got no excuse now. All that Netflix money swirling around. Like, you're going to have Austin. Like, honestly, the way things have been going, if it wasn't for recent court appearances, it wouldn't have surprised me to see the likes of Conor McGregor as, like, the celebrity input, but I'm not sure they're going to want to touch him at the moment.
I'm wondering about the Brock.
Probably going to do Jake Paul.
Yeah,
I'm Lesnar. Brock Lesnar. That's the Brock. Wild card.
That'd be great. I don't know if they want to touch that right now either, because, you know, because his name's got that mud, you know, got that vent stench on it right now. Mm-hmm. But if it wasn't for that, then I believe we could have gotten Brock versus Gunther at WrestleMania 40.
Yeah. You know why I think we'll get it is because just the way, like, the country is now, like, there's enough conservatives that'll be like, that'll push it to the side. Like, they're about making money. Like, people are about making money.
Yeah.
And, you know, a Brock Lesnar return.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, later day, Brock wasn't, you know, he wasn't peak. But put him in a ring with Gunther, and I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch that just to see how Brock takes that many chops in a match. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be brutal. But I guess one of my questions is, so fantasy booking hat on, and to feel more positive about the disaster that has been the last week, so say there's a marquee match at Mania, and it's going to be a tag. It's Kofi and Woods versus Big E. Who does Big E draft in as a partner?
Chris Jim.
Okay, I'll give a wild card answer. Sheldon Benjamin return. That would be
back from AEW already.
Oh, right.
And I think it's probably because we went to Wally Mania last year, and you could see, like, the genuine bond between those two on the stage there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mania money, Luke. Mania money. Just throw the cash at Tony Khan. It'll happen.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I'd probably say, like, Montez Ford. Or who's the one guy that was battling? Yes. I get it mixed up. He was in it with Cesaro. Not Cesaro. Charlotte's husband.
Andrade.
Yeah.
Okay. And Dry Hay.
No, the other guy. Remember he did like a best Carmelo seven? Hayes. Yeah.
Ah, Carmelo.
Melo like would be a good classic show. Match where like they dump a black guy in, like, all right, we got three black guys, yeah. we're really gonna push this.
I mean if that is the case, I mean Obafemi, like,
oh man,
two absolute units, and then a squash.
He's almost ready to come up.
A squash on Woods and Cove would be would be hilarious. Sure. And where's Keith Lee at the minute? Because I know I saw Mia Yim put a picture up of the Yim family.
I think he's had bad health issues, right? Yeah, yeah, we saw him actually at Wale Mania. Like, he walked right in front of.
Oh really?
Coming at the front, yeah. I was like, yo, like, all of the wrestlers are walking around the parking lot. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like,
we almost went in the wrong entrance. We almost went in the wrong entrance. We got right behind like Ricochet and Samantha, Ricochet. And like, no, you guys are the riffraff. You're going around the other entrance.
Bobby Lashley in person is a unit.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I can't imagine either. You know. Yeah. Hey, Wes, I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt, but I missed. What was your top three New Day moments?
Top three New Day moments. Does Kofi winning count as one? Because I feel like that was as much about them. Yeah. So that's one. Oh gosh. I'll say the cereal box at Mania 32.
Oh yeah.
That was a good one. And then, I mean, you can take any one of what. Oh, when they broke the record for like consecutive days, like that was pretty cool.
I should put that on mine. Yeah, I should put that on mine.
Good show.
Just because, like that, I feel like honestly, they are the only like black champions that WWE has done right by in my lifetime. Like, I don't really count The Rock because they lean into his Samoan. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, the way they ended Kofi's world title reign was awful, but like they never did that with the New Day. And I like, as an African American wrestling fan, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I bet. And like Mark Henry felt like it was that weird time where it felt like the big gold was the secondary belt. Like it felt more like an intercontinental level title, which was a real shame, because again, talking about like the heel turn promos, that one was iconic.
Yeah.
Like, my God, that swerve was unreal. But you just reminded me what then was going through those moments. The rap battle.
With the Usos and Wale.
So what could have been such a disaster of a segment? Like, because you've seen WWE do, you know, certainly in the Vince days, you know, throw random segments in and you just think, oh, this is going to bomb. This is going to be terrible. And that was just so funny. It was so good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, especially with that Jimmy Uso line about Xavier. I'll get that going in a minute.
Anytime the page stuff gets mentioned.
I'm going to let you get your point out. I'll share that for later.
Honestly, been thinking about as we talk about New Day, and my favorite New Day moment, and no bullshit, and sorry to get into all the feels of it all and the positivity or whatever, but honestly, my favorite New Day moment, Wes, was when we were at WrestleMania 32 with Marley, because we decided we would dress up as New Day. We would get the original red jacket and slacks, and we had the New Day Rocks t-shirts. I think it was the Run DMC design or something similar to that. And we had our toy belt in the parking lot. We had it like a WWE championship, some tag championship.
We had the headbands.
Wow.
But we had the headbands with the unicorn horn. But it's just the leading up to that, because they were peaking at that time, and there was just like such good positivity between fans in the car park. Like,
I love that.
And it was,
they were merch movers, man. They were like the colorfulness of like, it just, there was something about them. Like, I still have the action figures in my room. I got the pop figures. Like, there was something about the New Day that was just so pure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when they wouldn't let us getting to, it was at Dallas, they wouldn't let us take our unicorn horns in because they said they were weapons.
And like, I'm like, literally, like, you guys are selling this shit. I can like, literally see the merch. Horns.
I mean, they were sharp.
But they were selling them in the building. And we had bought them from WWE. We snuck them in. Yeah, we got them in, but you know, it was a lot harder than it needed to be.
Wow. So this was Mania 32.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was there. I was there too. That was my very first WrestleMania. Yeah.
Nice. That was mine too.
Wow. Yeah.
Years before we met. Wow.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy. And you know who else was at Mania 32 in Dallas? Friend of the program, you know, Janelle from Jobber Tears. Uh-huh. She was there as well. Little did I know. Yeah, like, you know, like this is the time, like, I think we first started becoming like friends on Facebook, whatever, at the time, like this, like, long before even, like, I even met them in person, you know what I mean? So, like, it just so happened to be in the same venue, you know, at the same time. So it's funny how that type of stuff works out. But yeah,
I mean, yeah, most of us, yeah, probably been in sort of a big, like, similar circles, and just in, like, we have a lot of Fantasy Faction community members in the UK too, like, just from going to shows and that. I'm sure we've all, like, crossed paths and not even realized it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's also cool when everyone sort of meets up through this thing too.
Oh my gosh.
Like, they really used to take risks with the character. Like, if you want to see, like, how society has declined with our sense of humor, just look at what it's done to wrestling. Because, like, I love watching old Godfather vignettes. He might be, like, on my personal favorite Mount Rushmore wrestlers just because, like, yo, they really had a pimp on TV. And then when you hear his interviews and he's like, yo, we would land and go to strip clubs and be like, come be in the show, like, it just felt real.
Did you see that segment one time where Godfather almost broke Undertaker?
I just thought about that
because they were in the same crew and they were like, hey, I know you like hoes.
Yo, I've sent that to my friends, Mark, so many times, because, like, that applies to life. Like, we all have friends who are just like, dog, I know how you get.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's weird seeing Taker doing podcasts now.
Oh yeah. My gosh. Seriously.
But I also enjoy it too, because like, the stories, like, that's the best thing to me about wrestling. And, like, with how content is now, is you can hear these guys tell their stories.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've read, like, any of the books, like, I was a big fan of reading, like, wrestling memoirs, and to me the best one, hands down right now so far, is Bret Hart's.
Yeah.
And what I enjoyed the most about it is it wasn't like the WWF years. It was like hearing about, like, Stampede Wrestling and how it used to be territories. And these guys were really in vans driving through snowstorms, getting the shows. And then, you know, Vince ruined the whole thing. But, like, dude, like, that wrestling business, like, it's fascinating, and, like, I'm very protective of it. When people are like, oh, like, you're watching it, it's fake. It's like, Brad, so are movies that we watch.
Right. Reality shows too.
Yeah.
Like, and there are wrestling, like, promos that I think are, like, Academy Award winning worthy. Like, the way wrestling can bring the emotion out of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's live. It's so organic. Like, a lot of TV and movie these days are very, like, fast cuts, just one-liners, and then cut to the next shot. You don't see a lot of emotion in edited television these days. But with pro wrestling, it's like, it's live. It has to be live, so they have to hit their cues live. And the ones, at least from the WWE level, have perfected that craft and keep it going. So there's nothing like just live expression, unedited, that gets that emotion out of you. And like I said, they perfected that craft. And yeah, it's a genre that needs to be protected, I think.
So what like hooked you guys into wrestling? Like, I'm always interested to hear like what it was. Like, was it a match?
It's not like a romantic story or inspirational thing at all. It's really clear. I was 13, 14. I was a little moody teenager, and I saw Stone Cold Steve Austin drinking beers and just kicking the ass out of his boss and just violence. And then the Trish Stratus of it all, the divas. I was just at that age, bro, so they got me.
That was wild, bro.
Yeah.
Was that?
They was on magazines. Like, it was...
They appealed to my male hormones. I wish I had a better. That's what he was. Right.
I know for me, I would say it was Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, and then I mixed with Austin 316. That's what really got me hooked, especially when it came to like the old WWF, like WrestleMania arcade games. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So seeing Bret as champion, reminds me more like an actual superhero than even what Hogan was, because for me, like, by the time I started watching, Hogan's run was already, his best years were behind him at that point. So like I said, Bret was my gateway, him and HBK.
HBK.
Nice. I was about 7 or 8, and a family friend gave me, it was one of my sister's friends actually. He gave me WrestleMania 7 on VHS. I later realized that the only reason he gave me WrestleMania 7 on VHS, because at the time that was pretty much deemed as the worst WrestleMania that had gone down. I got a video, and I had no idea what it was, but it was around the same time. So I saw that, and I saw like Hulk Hogan, and I saw like Jake. I was terrified of Jake the Snake and like the Road Warriors and stuff, and Andre. And I was like, what is this? Like, absolute, all these people in an arena, like, that looked like a football stadium that I knew, but I was just like, what is this insanity?
Yeah.
And then it was around the same time as well. Was it the Hogan, the WWF cartoon?
That was a little bit before 7, but still.
They were showing reruns of that over here. So it was kind of all around the same time, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then I only ever had that and Battle Royal at the Royal Albert Hall's videos, and that was all I knew of wrestling until I was like, 98, and Luke came over for a sleepover and was like, oh, that's not wrestling, this is wrestling. And it was a bald guy beating up his boss, and there was boobs on TV, and it was like, whoa. There was a police officer being hung from a cage.
Boss,
and it was like, what am I, like, it was like, this is mad, this is insane. And it was around that time of like pop culture just started to pump out the stuff that like you didn't want your parents to know you were watching. Right. So it was like, we had that in wrestling. We had music with like Eminem and Limp Bizkit, and there was like cartoons like Ren and Stimpy and stuff that wasn't deemed appropriate, but you were like, this is amazing. Like, this is great stuff.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Celebrity Deathmatch. Oh my God. Yeah,
that was legit.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And the funny thing about it is that people talk about how they were, afraid to see their parents walk in and see them watching wrestling. It's funny because my dad actually ordered WrestleMania 14. I mean, that was like the first WrestleMania that we actually actually ordered. We ordered WrestleMania 14 when I was like almost like 9 at that time. So, So like, I mean, they already knew. So it wasn't no big deal with that anyway.
So for me, it was when I was a kid, like in the 90s, never had cable, especially like before foster care. And they would have on Saturday mornings, WWE would run a show. And it was like, I think it was like Saturday Morning Superstars or something.
Yeah.
And what I remember the 1-2-3 kid, he was like a jobber at the time. And they had him job to like Bret Hart. And what they would do on that show, and I think it was to get as many matches as they could, is they would only do the entrance for the star. So like Bret would come down, do his thing, and then they'd be like, and facing him is the 1-2-3 kid. And it was just like in the ring. And then, you know, in the 90s, you go to video stores, and I always love going to the VHS section for WWF because the artwork, I'll never forget. I think it was one Survivor Series, and the artwork was like a bunch of wrestlers at a Thanksgiving table, and the Undertaker was at the head of it. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Survivor Series 92 or 93.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm just being like 36 now, like I'm just very nostalgic these days because a lot of the bands and artists that I love are doing 20-year anniversaries, and like watching wrestling now, the Bloodline story is the first one that has made me feel like it did when I was a kid. Like, I really don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. Like, every other story that they've told, like, even Kofi, like, I loved Kofi Mania, but we knew he was going to win. The fact that they brought that title out and it was covered before the match even started, kind of get, you know what I mean? Or you know how a lot of these kind of rivalries are going to end, or these stories. But, like, the Bloodline is the one that has always surprised me. Like, I didn't see CM Punk coming into this. You know what I mean? Like, they've managed to just really bring back that 90s feel where, like, everything is part of the story. Every little look and, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. It was weird as well the other day. So, the WWE Vault has started to pop up a lot on YouTube because, obviously, the network is getting closed down. And the Paul Heyman documentary popped up as a, like, you know, watch this. So I did. And because I'd never seen it before, and it's a really, really good watch. And then straight after that, the Punk one came up. So, like, I ended up watching that. And it's definitely not by accident that those two documentaries appeared, obviously, post Survivor Series. But then looking at where that story started, and we've got some real nice twists coming up. But then that's what gets me excited. Like with the New Day thing, it's like last week was absolutely heartbreaking. Last night was amazing. Like, you know, they've got, I never thought I'd say this, but Kofi and Woods have got Dominic Mysterio levels of heat.
I thought of the same thing.
Right now.
Yes.
They do.
Like, yeah. And
you've got Dominic heat.
And Dom's getting cheered. Like, what's all that about? Like, Dom's turning face. Oh, what?
The world's a crazy place. 2024 has been a
parallel timeline. Are we working
parallel
it? But,
ever since Cal Williams opened up that portal. Hate. Hate.
That Shay podcast. Oh, my God.
Gosh, unleash the hate. That's what it is. But, the funny thing is, speaking of that, it's funny how, we talked about the I mean, interrupt the things. So we talked about Xavier Page earlier. It's funny how they were hating on Big E's girlfriend and it's funny how Xavier also brought the camera, and so people were making jokes about it. But it's funny how you know, you know, if I say this, but I said in the DM, I said like it's funny how how they're hating on Big E's girlfriend. But yet, you know, Xavier was clapping Paige's cheeks on Only Wrestlers. You know what I mean? So, like, what are we talking about here? So, you know, yeah, that's just
strong. I'm not gonna lie to you, bro. I've never looked at Xavier the same since I saw that video. it's just like those other two, and then I swear to God, he just walks in out of nowhere, and it's almost like he was walking down the hallway of the hotel, and they're like, "Hey, you want in?" And he's like, "Yeah, I don't have anything else to do."
Those NXT motels were
sticky.
Something out of like Fabulous Moolah's playbook. I don't know.
Yeah, it was the hottest of hot tags. It was absolutely obscene.
It's ironic that they do that though, and like, but Vince is the one that gets caught up. Like, they literally got these guys on tape, and Vince is the one that's like, yeah.
You can't keep an eye on everyone, can he?
Exactly.
Clearly.
Oh, God.
Honestly, NXT was another thing that like put wrestling back on the map, because like you go to like a takeover, like we've done what, two of them, Luke? We did a takeover in Orlando, and then the one in Brooklyn was mental.
Paul Gargano 2 out of 3. Yeah. Yeah.
I ain't never been in any crowd.
The takeover
like that
days before. Are done, right?
And Bailey versus Sasha, NXT Takeover Brooklyn.
they're in a great new era now. NXT, they don't do the takeovers anymore, right? They're sort of bringing back. Well, they kind of have their own style of pay-per-views, like the Deadline, Defiant Survivor stuff, but then they do like the Valentine's Day.
Yeah. So
NXT, we'll have to get into an NXT one before the next pay-per-view, but they are they're getting set. It's clear WWE TKO are planning for like the next 3 to 5 years. In terms of like developing that brand, all of a sudden there's going to be an influx.
I watched like one of the takeovers, and I saw what like I think it was the title match, and one of the characters was like a mob boss, and I'm like, this screams like 1990s. Yeah, Tony. This is something straight out of the 90s, and I'm like, I thought we were getting away from this.
Yeah.
And like even like the promos they cut or he would cut, I'm like, yo, this is terrible.
Yeah.
HBK was 90. HBK still from, you know, that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 97 HBK that's booking NXT right now.
Uh-huh. Well, there was an interesting development there. Was it last week when The Rock's daughter got knocked out? And then this week the guy that did it was found unconscious in the locker room, and everyone's like, "The Rock's coming to NXT." It's like, let's calm down.
Rock and Michaels had a thing back in the day.
Oh, sure, man.
Long-term storytelling.
The thing is, that's the reason why they never had a match.
I think they're going to use his daughter as, like, him for the times in the Bloodline story where he's not around. Like, she'll be his proxy. Kind of like how they used to do with, like, Stephanie McMahon. Like, it feels like... But I just wonder how it ends up playing out. I have my guesses, and I'm excited to see if they come to fruition. Like, I'll text Luke. Like, when something hits me, I'm like, yo, like, I might be high right now, but here's where I'm going with it. Like...
Dude, I mean, Rock's daughter, like, she could get an ego about it, like the daughter of the final boss, like having some conflict with HBK, that could work.
I mean, but that thing you just said, where the guy was found, like, knocked out, like, that's the storytelling that this story has, like, that that happened for a reason.
There's another 75 members of that family that WWE are yet to sign, and
that's the annoying part of this.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of them that could move to NXT. 100%.
Every time I get on Twitter, it's like there's three Fatu brothers that have been signed for like 5 months, and it's like I'm like, yo, what is... Like, this is starting to get NWO levels of like...
exactly. Samoan NWO.
We're only in the first inning. We're only in the first inning of this Bloodline era.
The first inning 4 years in.
The problem is, like, how do you end it? Like,
you never end it.
Okay, it has to.
First inning,
Noah family.
We get Brock Lesnar coming out in a couple of months' time with tribal tattoos and.
Oh, God.
All of a sudden,
every 3 to 5 years, Brock comes back and tries to take down the Bloodline. Cody has a story, but it just keeps on going. Then now, forever.
Paul Heyman's not a fit guy. Like, he can't see the entire like dynasty through. He's on borrowed time. That man. He took a hell of a powerbomb through a table.
Dude, I can't wait for the Bloodline documentary that's going to come on Peacock that explores the whole thing.
Man, I can't wait either.
Yeah, I mean, like, one thing, my only reservation about the whole Netflix deal is, like, for me, I sent the documentaries that I watched the other day to a cousin who's not watched wrestling for ages. I was like, watch these, they're amazing. And he was like, holy shit, WWE makes, like, really good documentaries. And I was like, honestly, I think they might, as a company, they might be the best at the documentaries they do, because they film everything that, like, the storytellers anyway. Yeah, absolutely. And the narrative that the way they tell it and the way they tell the stories is so, so good. I really hope that Netflix don't start to meddle with that when they get this deal, because Netflix documentaries can be so bad. Like,
no, I think the only thing with WWE, like, they've gotten better because, like,
yeah,
if you watch a lot of their DVDs for like the superstars, it follows like the same format. Like, there's like 30 minutes of people talking about them, and then there's like 8 matches on, you know, spread out across. And so I think with the network, it let them experiment with the type of content. And so, like, I find myself drawn to, like, I was big on like the Stone Cold's show that he had on there.
Yeah,
like anything that like talked like, oh, the table for three, that was another really good one.
Yeah, that was good.
And JBL, he had one where he was interviewing people.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, they've had some good content, and like, I just like that they give you different ways of doing it. And like, to me, the best content is when they just let wrestlers tell their story. Like, remember when they did, I think it was like 25 years of Taker?
Yeah.
And they had that thing, and it was like Shawn, Triple H, and
JBL.
Yes. That was like, that's the kind of stuff. Like, I go home, I put my kids to bed, I smoke a pre-roll, and it's like, all right, I'm diving into something from 90s wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I even got the Decade of Destruction book, or like 25 years of Undertaker. There was this book about like Undertaker's 25 years or whatever, and so it was in complete detail in everything. It was almost immaculate, just about. But I think the A&E documentary is definitely a great, you know, great way to really test those waters as well, because the thing is, they're, you know, it was very authentic, it was very real. Roman probably arguably had probably the best one that I've seen, but that Bloodline documentary as a collective, I think with what they did with the Vince documentary, I think that's a sign of, I think it's a really good sign of things to come, you know.
So the Vince one was done through one of my favorite, like, he used to be a sports writer, now he runs The Ringer, Bill Simmons. Yeah, that was his company that did that. Like, I feel like as long as if WWE can keep everything in-house and just use Netflix for distribution,
yeah,
I think that's the way they go. Because they've always been very protective of their content. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And especially, like, Netflix seems to like to go for the sensational. And I think with a public company like this, you're not going to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to have anything, like, salacious about Roman Reigns on there. Like, that's the cash cow.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just,
you know, make Hogan documentaries for us too.
I mean, if you want to make a smear campaign, just create a Hogan documentary and
see. It was easy for me to hate Hogan because, like, I always thought he was overrated to begin with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you watch his, like, you say, okay, I get it. Like, that's how cheesy the 80s were, you know, with like the just say no to crack and all that. Like, they came up with stupid stuff like that. So I get it. But it's like, yo, you literally hulk up, you hit a leg drop, and then that's, you know what it was? It was when he took Bret Hart's, like when he came out to WrestleMania when he was fighting Yoko.
That's right.
And I was like, come on, dog. Like,
that's right.
Just let somebody else have their moment.
Yeah.
And then he did it like later on with there was some, or like anytime you watch a match where he loses, like watch that first like Warrior match where he lost to him at Mania.
Yeah.
And even when his shoulders are down, he still kicks out kindly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, 3.1, like,
they talk about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he never just lets people have their, like, he let The Rock have his, but like it was already over by then. But like,
yeah,
you know, it's just, I don't know, there's something about him that just, and I can excuse a lot, but if you're not a good wrestler and you've got that ego part.
Yeah. And even WrestleMania 4, when Macho Man won the title, Hogan was all over the camera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was, if you go back and watch the celebration carefully, he was hogging up that camera.
Yeah, and like I'll give him credit for like NWO, but even that after a while, where it's like, if you're going to create a faction, like there has to be a yin to the yang. And they never did that with NWO.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, I remember me and Luke were talking about like wrestlers on our Mount Rushmore. And I always would put Triple H on there because he understood that Rock and Austin were going to be the king baby faces and they needed a heel. And he, to me, is the best heel. Like, he's my favorite heel of all time. He's just a grimy dude.
Hated Triple H back then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Triple H, you son of a bitch. Like, yeah.
Yeah. genuinely just disliked him. Like, anytime he'd be on, I'd just be like, oh, like, the first time I think I ever was like heartbroken by wrestling was that Raw Rumble when Cactus Jack and you know, like, he in like 2000 and Triple H won, and I was just like, why? Yeah. How does he keep getting away with it? Like, as a kid, I was so like torn up.
Yeah. I think that was my first experience with like a wrestler being retired in a match. I didn't think about it before then. And then, like, oh, Triple H, you got rid of a wrestler. You got rid of Foley.
Yeah. Okay. So back then, like, my mom, my foster mother bought one pay per view my whole life. And two, I'm sorry. One was Kane's debut, and the other one was the Hell in a Cell where he got thrown off the top.
Okay.
And so for every pay per view, obviously, we didn't get it. So I would go on WWF.com the next day and they would write up what happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would have to imagine it and then watch Raw that night when they would do the vignette opening. Yeah. It's like, so there's so many matches I never got to see like live. Like, I had to dive into the network. It was strictly going off imagination of reading WWF.com. Like, bro, people don't know. Like, the
honestly, like, we used to have, so over here, so obviously you'd always have every pay-per-view was on pay-per-view, but then there was the odd one that would be on Channel 4, so it was like free to watch, but obviously it was on at like 1-2 o'clock in the morning, so you'd be setting the VCR recorder, and then you'd be like begging your parents, like, I put it on long play, there's 3.5 hours, don't touch it, like, leave it on this channel when you go to bed, like, it's all good, it's all set up. But it was only like 2 or 3 a year, Luke, probably. And then what you, like, you'd get to school the morning after, to say, like, the big ones, like the Royal Rumble and Mania, and you always had that one friend that was the rich kid that had like the parents that just like, spend like 80 quid on box office and stuff. So you'd be like piling up to him going, oh, have you got the video? Have you watched it all? He's like, yeah, I'm going to watch it tonight. It's like, oh, can I borrow it tomorrow? And like, you'd if you didn't get to him early on that Monday, you'd have to wait till like Friday or the following week to watch it. Like,
so Vaughn will remember this. Remember how we had Sunday Night Heat in America?
Yes. Yeah.
And like, if you couldn't afford the pay-per-view, you would watch Sunday Night Heat because they would always do like a teaser at the end.
Yeah, they would.
And there was one where it was the pay-per-view that night was going to be Austin versus Undertaker. It was First Blood. And whoever would, if Austin won, Vince McMahon would have to leave WWF. And like the weeks leading up, like, they would bust Austin open like every time. And then at the end of that Sunday Night Heat, Undertaker attacked him and he was bleeding as Sunday Night Heat is like going out into the pay-per-view starting. And can you imagine not having the money for the pay-per-view? You're seeing that and it's like, bro, I'm gonna wake up tomorrow and Austin's gonna be gone.
Evil, evil capitalists. That's how they get you. That's how they get you to buy the pay-per-view. Oh my God.
Wrestling really used to wreck the mental health. Like, the way they were telling them stories.
Oh yeah.
Like, we was really believing, like, yo.
Yeah, and that was that was like when it was at its peak as well. So like, half of its audience probably couldn't actually watch most of it, but you just like you found a way. You like you experienced it. You like you said, was like even just like reading the website, and then like I'm sure our generation got so savvy with the internet because half of us were just fucking reading Monday Night Raw results like after it had happened. And
when I tell you that invasion angle had me in a chokehold.
Oh, man.
The only thing I can compare to it, like, of how it made me feel every week when guys would turn on WWF was like the Power Rangers when the Green Ranger debuted.
Green Ranger.
And he was evil and he was whooping the ass for like 6-7 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, it was, that's what the invasion angle felt like. Like, every time it's like, yo, WWE's about to conquer. Like, nah, everybody else turned on him. And then Kurt Angle turned, and then Austin turned. You're like, damn, bro, like, Vince, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
I remember getting on, like, it wasn't Napster. Was it Kazaa, the thing that followed Napster? Kazar and LimeWire.
Yeah.
Morpheus.
And, Morpheus, yes. And downloading like WWF Invasion, ECW Turn, and that moment when you know they're all in the ring and then they just turn and let go on Kane and Undertaker and stuff and those classic moments. So good.
Oh my gosh.
So good. Hard drive. And that was the end.
Like it sucked that a lot of those guys, like there was a lot of talented wrestlers that came over. Like I'm of the belief that Booker T should have been bigger than he was.
Yes.
Like when you look at like his build and how athletic he was, like there was definitely guys that like, I mean, he had a great career. Don't get me wrong, but like creative definitely dropped the ball with him. Like Landstorm is another one that I thought was like super talented.
Oh man.
He was a great heel. And some guys got lost in the shuffle, but by the time like that invasion happened, like WWF had they had the top 10 stars in wrestling, they probably had 8 of them.
Yeah.
Easily. And you look at like just like technical ability. I mean, you had the Radicals and like you say, Landstorm, Jericho, Angle, Mysterio, all of them at the same time.
Those Kurt Angle highlights, or Perk Angle as they call him.
Yeah.
When he really like I saw a meme yesterday, it was like, what would you define as locked in? And it was like some match where he was just suplexing everyone.
Yeah.
Like that was my guy, bro. Kurt Angle was like he was the total package. I don't think people he's one of them GOAT type guys.
Yeah.
Like for sure.
He is. Matter of fact, his birthday was yesterday too.
Oh, was and it? The other part, like, you know what's hard to like understand about this era versus like ours was like we had mid card guys that got bigger pops than the upper card guys.
Yeah. Mm.
Like bro, like Scotty Too Hotty and Rikishi, like you don't hear pops like that today. And those guys were on the mid card.
Right.
Like that is like the guys who wouldn't even sniff, you know, a title match, but they all played their roles really well.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Like those old Raws, like during the 90s.
The Al Snow thing, like, what does everybody want? And the whole place would go off.
I
didn't know
what that means. Like, yeah, I was like, I want head, like, my mom was like, yo, shut your ass up.
So went over everybody.
You know what's crazy, like, black parents usually, like, especially black moms, they're very, like, they see one thing of whatever you like, and if it's the one wrong thing, it ruins what they think of, like, that interest.
Yes.
And so, like, I would tell my mom, like, yo, you gotta watch wrestling, like, there's The Rock, and then there's Stone Cold. He beats up his boss. Tell me why when she walks in, what she sees is gold dust. How do you explain that shit?
Oh, man.
And she's like, what kind of freak shit you watching? Like, yeah, because gold dust was like, if you ask me the biggest like representation of the Attitude Era for me, it wasn't Austin and them. It was gold dust, Godfather and Val Venus, like that. Those are the three that represent like the risks that they took creatively.
We did
an episode a couple of years ago called That's Not PG, and it was going back through like the peak of the Attitude, and choppy to PP was just unreal.
And that was on live television. That's the crazy part.
It was.
Yeah.
I still remember that. I remember they turned on him in a tag match. I still remember it was Taka Michinoku. Like he turned on him in a tag match, and they whooped his ass and dragged him backstage.
And he's chained up to like the pipes.
Yeah. And as a kid, I didn't know what was going on. So like you just see them bust through the door like it's a drug bust. And his ass is on TV, and you're like, wait, what? They really had. Do you guys remember when Undertaker, just like during the Ministry of Darkness, when
he kidnapped
Austin and they went to embalm him? So, like, he hit him in the head with a shovel. So he was in the hospital. He kidnaps him from the hospital, takes him to like bury him. And then something happened. Austin woke up, so he choked him out again. So he's like, we're going to embalm him. And they take him to embalm him, and then Kane shows up, and Austin runs off. Like,
yeah.
That Ministry of Darkness Undertaker used to scare me, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was – he was really different.
Yeah.
Vince had him abducting Stephanie, had Austin hung up on that Undertaker symbol. You know what I mean? Like, had Boss Man hung up with a noose on the cell. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that was peak attitude. And also, like, on WWF No Mercy, I don't know if anybody, noticed this little Easter egg, Kent, right? Like, you know how No Mercy, when you go through, other than, like, going through career mode, you can unlock wrestlers in the shop, right? You know, unlock, like, Cactus Jack, Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, whatever, right? And so, Ken Shamrock too, right? So guess who was one of the other unlockables?
What was it? Ministry of Darkness Undertaker?
No, they had the Phantom of the Opera Undertaker mask, but one of the unlockable characters was one of the Godfather's hoes. So Vince was promoting Pimpin' on a video game too. So he was already telling on himself already.
Bruh, the SmackDown games. Like the journey of WWF games is another one that's like, because you mentioned earlier the WrestleMania game, which I just happened to see a video of somebody playing that the other day. And like you kick Yokozuna and like a ham would come out of his stomach. Like, it was really like cheesy arcade type stuff. And then there was like WWF Attitude and Warzone. And it's like, okay, they're getting there, but it's not quite. And the SmackDown games is when it was like, okay, this is what I want. Right. SmackDown 2, Know Your Role. I remember getting that on the Greatest Hits, Sony PlayStation.
Oh, yeah. You can fight backstage? Like, you could do stuff.
Got hit by a limo.
That's first time you could do that.
Remember they had like a bar. It was like WWF New York or something. That was in the game.
Yeah. They had that in the game.
That's how big wrestling was. They had a restaurant in Times Square, and I'm sure the food was terrible, but like wrestling, they could sell anything back then.
Yeah, and I think that was the first game where you had to unlock Stone Cold Boston. And also Shawn Michaels was unlocked, so I found a way to unlock them. So I think that was Eddie's first SmackDown game. That was Jericho's second SmackDown game. That was Kurt Angle's first SmackDown game. That was Voldemort's first SmackDown game as well. You know who that is. But yeah.
Not like that. That's. Do you remember the ice cream bars?
Oh yeah.
They did something with Punk for a while where it was the logo for him. But like I remember buying that ice cream bar, and it would come with a card in it. Like a trading card, bro. That was
no way.
Wow. Yeah, like that wrestling ice cream bar. Like, if we had ice cream trucks in the 90s. Like, we don't really have that no more. But like, yeah, like that WWF, boy. And like now, it's hard as an adult. Like, you know, I have kids, and so I walk the toy aisle, and like when they have like an action figure there that connects with me emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had the other day, it was like a version of The Rock, and it was like when he was with the corporation, and I'm like, dude, that just hit right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like it's hard to not buy the toys sometimes. Like I do the pop figures. Like I have some wrestling ones.
Me too.
Like I have the Final Boss, The Rock one. I pre-ordered that one. It came like 2 months ago.
Nice.
I got like Paul Heyman. I got the New Day. Then I got like the Undertaker and Paul Bearer, which is like the craziest looking one.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to go through Saturday Night Main Event?
So they're bringing that back. So that's this Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only four matches on the card. But there's talk that there might be a shock in the main event. Between Cody and Owens.
Oh, yeah. Nah, it's The Rock. Like, they're going to bring him back for, like, the big shit. Like, so that Raw Netflix book it. This one, I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like he's building a stable of guys that, like, have been ignored and want to get to the top, and they sell their souls to the final boss to do it. So, like, I feel like Owens is going to be one of them. I feel like we're going to get that Seth Rollins we got, like, with the cash-in that sold out the Shield. I think we're going to get that version of him. And I think Drew will probably be the other one. And it's just guys that just start wrecking shit on the roster for The Rock. And, like, they get promised, like, title matches.
It'll be pretty sick if Rock puts a kind of stable together. But there's talk of there being a new Shield kind of.
See, they need to leave that alone. Leave it alone, bro.
Don't do a 2.0.
Like, that's one thing that Vince, I feel like, well, okay, obviously the sexual and all that stuff was his undoing, but, like, creatively was he dipped in the Legends well and in the past too often. And it's like, dude, you got to build stars now. Like, guys that my kids are going to know, because at some point I'm going to stop spending as much money on wrestling as, you know what I mean? Like, that's just natural as we get older, or, like, we find stuff in other sources that isn't WWF, like action figures, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they need guys that, like, my sons will be like, yo, I want, like, Naomi loves, my daughter, she loves Rhea Ripley. Mm-hmm. Like, she just loves that whole style. And I'm like, and she's 9. And I thought she would be Bianca Belair, but, like, she's in, like, this little emo goth phase, and she thinks Rhea Ripley is, like, the greatest ever. And Vince stopped building that. Like, he would have stars and then, like, not do anything with them.
Yeah.
Or have Goldberg cut out whatever momentum they had.
It feels like there's more and more people carving a piece out for themselves on there. Like, apparently Finn is on the verge of a push as well, a poosh.
They did him wrong, man. I thought he was going to be a superstar.
Yeah.
Like, they gave it to him and he got injured, which I think Seth did on purpose, but that's just my theory. That's just my theory.
Like, it wouldn't be the first time. I don't think with that man.
If Triple H took over like 5 years earlier, Finn would be.
Oh, dude.
Finn would have had the rocket strapped to him.
Mm-hmm.
The roster would be stocked with like NXT superstars.
Adam Cole would still be there.
See, I think he's
free Adam done. Cole.
Like, I think he's had too many like banger matches and he just, his body can't hold up anymore. Because he was in some wars in NXT. Like, legit, like. And then I feel like by the time he got to fight the dude from Undisputed Era, was it Kyle?
Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, they had like those 50-minute matches. I'm like, bro, this is boring. And you guys are just being violent for the hell of it. And that's not the kind of wrestling that I like.
Like, Okada knocked him out. He broke his ankle on a little jump off some stairs. Yeah, he properly beat up his body. I mean, he was doing progress and Ring of Honor for like so long, and really beating his body up. Yeah,
but he's only a small guy as well. Like, he's slight. He's not really got much cushion. He's not like a Kevin Owens that can probably take more of a beating. I kind of like
Kevin Owens has carved out a place for himself. I thought that was gonna go bad, and I love Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to see Kevin Owens wins on Saturday.
I got KO wins. I want
a swerve.
I'd like that. I like
Cody. Is the title on the line or no?
Yeah. Ooh. Title on the line. I like the idea as well of there being this kind of unofficial big three between Owens, Drew, and Seth. This kind of screwed by the bloodline.
Yeah.
Like pushed to the point where they're all psychotic heels.
Yeah.
Sammy's slowly making his way through the group now. After like confronting Seth, and he's got Drew on Saturday as well.
Kevin is right.
But like, okay, so the way they filmed his heel turn, like where it wasn't on the show, it was in the parking lot.
Yes.
Like that was like a throwback type storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Shows the power of social media. Like, they didn't have to put that on TV. Like, it was literally through word of mouth from people who recorded it.
Yeah.
I think wrestling's best when they blur the line between real and fake.
It absolutely is, yeah, definitely.
And I think Netflix is going to give them that opportunity to do that. Because, like, they can do what you want on Netflix.
Yeah.
I've seen documentaries about child sex predators, so they better not, like, dumb down wrestling.
Right.
They have a show called Squid Game where poor people are competing in death games for money.
I think they've teased that they're still gonna try and have family friendly viewing for advertisers, aren't they? But
your family friendly is gonna be whatever 20-minute Cody promo we get. That's sure. Your family friendly. The rest of it, I want gratuitous violence.
Bring back the second half of Raw that used to be Warzone.
Oh, yeah.
So you can have pre-Watershed Raw and then turn it to Warzone after, and then we can just have all hell break loose.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm waiting on them to do all the cross stuff they're going to do with UFC, because, like, where I see this heading is, like, they're going to turn Mania Weekend into, like, this UFC wrestling extravaganza where you have, like, a big UFC card, like, on Friday, and then you get Mania on Saturday and Sunday. Like, TKO is about to run the first weekend of April.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Like, yeah.
Oh.
What a way to start your new financial year.
Yeah.
With and then, you know, you can see Vegas being the place as well, like, every 5 years or so. Like, they'll just keep going back because...
Well, I think they said they're not going to be doing open-air stadiums on the East Coast anymore. Because, like, we were at Mania this year, and it was cold as hell. Yeah. Like, and we had been drinking all day. Like, we were high as hell. Like, it was not the best. And then, like, the next night, we went to a casino and watched it. Rob Van Dam was, like, right next to us. Like, he had, like, some OnlyFans chicks. Like, they were filming content. Like, I'm dead ass. Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah. We saw Ric Flair, too. That was crazy.
So, of course, yeah.
Good job Xavier Woods wasn't walking by. He might have joined in.
Yeah.
I want to know which event we're going to get, because we were... So London was... Well, London... No, in fact, it wasn't even London. It was Manchester or Birmingham over here. We're in contention for Elimination Chamber, but that's Canada again.
Yeah.
And they've definitely had talks about a future Mania, but it sounds like we're going to get one of the big four at some point, but like, God knows. And you can't do...
If you get to War Games, that'd be good.
No,
War Games would be good. Great. I mean, give me a Rumble.
Oh, dude.
Give me a Rumble.
They won't.
The Royalist of Rumbles.
The Royalist of Rumbles.
So much better. Foreign crowds are so much better than American crowds.
Yeah.
And I say this in wrestling and concerts. Like, if you listen to, like, live albums... that are reported in other countries, like, they don't get the experience as often, so, like, you can feel it. Like, when they did, what was it, where Bad Bunny did the street fight in Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Bro, that crowd was insane.
Backlight. Ridiculous.
Like, the best crowd I think we've been to, Luke, that TakeOver Brooklyn crowd was wild. The crowd when the Hardys came back at 33.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah,
that pop was wild. Like, that's why wrestling will live forever, because they had song, like, entrance songs. You hear the first note and you light up like a Christmas tree.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Like, you hear that doo 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 doo. Like, yeah, we know what's about to happen, dog.
Yeah. Cena came back at 32.
Or when you hear, if you watch, like, the main event from 40. And it's like when the Undertaker's gong hits, that pop is nuts.
It was.
Like, there's those guys are always going to get, like when you hear glass shatter, that's always going to get, like, such a fervent reaction. Yeah.
Oh, I lost my voice. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man, can't wait for that glass to shatter in Vegas.
You think it'll happen? Yeah.
It's gonna happen.
They're gonna top last year. They have to top last year.
Did you hear Undertaker tell the story of, like, how that happened? Like, he didn't tell anybody. And so, like, literally, he was sitting in his suite. They gave him the signal. He gets up like he's going to the bathroom or to go do something. And then he just goes down. The gong hits. His wife and his friends are in the suite. Like, what the hell is going on? They didn't know. He does his thing and then comes back to the suite like nothing happened. Oh, man. Like, that's wild, bro.
That's insane.
Brilliant. I don't know if they can top, like I don't know. I guess I'm just excited to see where it goes. I need Roman versus Rock this year. Like, this is the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, John Cena has to heavily be involved. This is his last WrestleMania. I don't think he's just going to get a straight up match. I think he's got to be involved in a big way.
Oh, wait. So his year starts in January. Is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I thought he would have like made it like this Mania and then end at the next Mania, but I guess not.
He's kicking off at the Rumble. He's going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. And he's going to be at Elimination Chamber. Obviously, yep. Don't know if he will be in the chamber or not, but I imagine he probably will be. I reckon he'll get close in the Rumble, but not quite get it.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to give us the chamber. Best final year ever. Like, is how you go out, where you just say, like, yo, I'm going to give you guys... Did he say he's going to be, like, full-time for the year or some shit like that?
Oh, no, it's 3 months, isn't it? Well, it's Rumble 2 Mania is his last few months. So he's not doing a full 12.
Oh, I thought he was doing like a full 12.
I don't think so. I think he's just. I think Vegas is his last.
Oh, hurrah. No.
I think he just said that was his last Mania, but I thought like 2025 was supposed to be him. Like,
he's gonna be a farewell tour. Is it Vegas? Yeah. Is gonna be his last.
I mean, he might do. He might do.
So no SummerSlam.
I don't think so.
Not sure.
I might be wrong, though. I might be wrong.
We got to fact check it. 36 dates culminating in his final WWE appearance in December 2025.
Oh, right. Okay.
According to Google AI.
Oh, it's lying.
We're going to get that here, dog. Like, I hope people actually appreciate him because I don't think there's anybody else that could have carried the company through like the PG era. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I love Randy Orton, but like, he was really on some demonic shit where you couldn't sell that.
Yeah,
he was kicking old people. He wasn't making it. Like,
he was. Orton was a super villain.
I love that punt kick. Like, anytime I would create a wrestler on any wrestling game, that was always my finisher. It was just so brutal, bro. Like,
straight up. And even on WWE 2K23, when you go through the Cena showcase and the last guy that you face before that, battle royal, I mean, before that fatal four way, like the last match that you have on there is against Orton in 2009. Going up against Orton in the Hell in a Cell. So it's the ball of Randy Orton. Like, even when he walks, like the camera angle, it makes him look like a serial killer.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh.
I'm so pissed they didn't put out like the final boss version of The Rock in 2K24. Like, you already know he's gonna be like part of like the special edition packet. There's gonna be like a final boss edition of 2K25. Like,
Yeah, definitely. I can see that.
I mean, it's got to be part of the story, surely. Like, you know, because they like to do the whole unveiling, don't they, of the cover thing and stuff. So, like, I just want to see him in like the real dick CEO move, just keep interjecting himself and being like, "No, I'm going to be the face of this. No, I'm going to do that." Like,
he should make himself the face.
Walking around with his imaginary people's champion title belt, like looking like a cosplay.
Bloodline showcase mode would be crazy.
Bloodline showcase, yeah.
That'd be insane.
I mean, there's some matches that you wouldn't be able to have, I don't think.
Nah.
Like, you wouldn't be able to have the triple threat with Daniel Bryan
and
Edge.
That sucks.
But I mean, the Sammy stuff you can do, like the Cody, like, dude, that it's built in. But I don't know, like, I remember at the end of One Mania, they're like, they've only told 30% of the story. I'd like a percentage update of where we're at. just so I can, you know, kind of know what my expectations are going into April.
Yeah. I mean, April's going to be, look, we had the devastation of Cody losing. We had the sheer joy of Cody winning last year. It's ending on a downer.
Wasn't a joy to be honest. I knew Roman was going to lose, like, because of just how they did it. But like, honestly, like, you're going to look back one day and miss, like, when Roman Reigns, like, really ran the company. Mm-hmm. Like, it was truly an event. Like, and then the stars that were made out of this story.
Yeah.
Like, Sammy, upgraded KO. Like, the Usos were tag team wrestlers, and now you picture them more apart than you do together.
Right.
Like, I forget about some of that stuff. Like, Solo was able to be brought along slowly, and then Jacob Fatu is going to be that dude.
Yeah.
Like, there's never been a story that, like, made superstars out of, I'll say, stars. Like, these are, you know, guys are, like, household names now.
Yeah. Yeah. Also wiped off that stench from Roman being the big dog. Where he couldn't even talk.
Oh my God!
I have a brown bag, you know, so it washed that stench away, and it redefined his career. Like, is one, if not the greatest transformation ever. And so, you know, like, you know, and like Heyman said to Big E, when you see Roman Reigns, when's the last time that they mentioned the Shield? You know, so like he's separate. That's what really separated him even more from them, more than ever. So
I remember back then, like. Even as far back as like Mania 33, like I remember Luke and I talking, and we agreed, like, yo, what if they put Paul Heyman with Roman Reigns? Like, that was actually a conversation that we would hear, you know, from other wrestling fans, you know, like when we were in other cities, like everybody knew that was the move. Like, it wasn't necessarily turning him heel, but it was like giving him somebody who can play off of him. And boy, did they really strike gold with that one.
Yeah, he did.
Because he wasn't quite a heel. Like, as much as people hated him, like, you know how many ones get thrown up when dude come out? Like I've been at bookstores here, and like, I'll see somebody with like I saw an Asian dude, he had a We The One shirt, and I threw it up, and like his whole family did. It was like, bruh.
I haven't got the glove.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah, I haven't got the glove. Like, I actually got this at Mania 40. I got this in Philly.
You were in Philly when we were. Yeah. Where do you live at?
I live in DC.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
I live in South Jersey, and so like Luke flew out, and I haven't drank that much in so long. Like, we were really out there, like. Oh, we had a great time, though. And what's funny about Luke is, like, I'm usually weird with people about, like, you go out and it's like, all right, we're going to get food, and then everybody has to tally things up. Like, it's never like that with him. Like, we'll go, and if I go get a beer, I'll just grab him one, and at some point, it'll all even out.
Yeah.
Like, I was down there, and he's like, yo, I'm hungry. I'm like, all right, I'll bring you some chicken tenders. And it's just like, by the end of the weekend, there was never any part where it felt like one of us had gotten the up on the other. Like, it was like everything felt even. And then, like, my son, like, loves Luke. Like, my youngest, I don't know if he's told you about him, Ant, but he's like 8 and loves soccer. And so, like, I'd get up in the morning and Luke's in the front yard, hungover, fucking playing soccer with my son. Or we'd be playing FIFA. And, like, Luke was like, yo, he really knows his players. I'm like, yo, this soccer thing is him. And like Luke sent him a Newcastle jersey, and the video of him opening, he was so excited. Oh, it's dude! He asked for a Chelsea jersey for Christmas. He just like having.
Oh man!
But anyway, no, I do gotta jump off of here.
Oh yeah, let's say we should wrap this up, guys. I've kept you on much longer than scheduled. No. Great chopping it up with it, y'all.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. A quick round robin of predictions for this weekend.
Cody versus Owens. What are we saying?
Oh, Owens.
Owens.
KO.
Owens. Nice. Sammy versus Drew.
Drew.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Gunther, Finn, and Priest.
Gunther.
I'm gonna swerve and go Finn.
Oh, I'm thinking Finn. You know, I don't know if Finn might win that, and Cody might win the main. But
everything I'm reading is that Finn's about to get this push. So
yeah, true.
This is the next place to start.
Liv versus Io.
Liv.
Io. Yes, Wes. She can do it. And then the final for the women's US. So it's either going to be Bailey or Chelsea versus Michin or Tiffany Stratton.
Chelsea. Let's go, Chelsea.
Bailey. I'd love it to be Chelsea.
Yeah, might go Bailey.
If anything, they play it safe going with a name that, like, has earned it.
Do we get a Tiffany Stratton cash in on a mid-card belt?
The way they've done so bad with, like, the Money in the Bank, like, well, they did it right with the men's, but, like, the women's one is terrible. Like, I have no interest in it. And it's like, dude, you can only tease it so many times.
Yeah. It's already lost its value. Point I don't even care no more.
Absolutely. See, I feel like Money in the Bank, like, you should have to cash in within a certain amount of time, like a shorter window, because it can be forgotten pretty easily.
Yeah.
Look at Austin Theory.
I mean, he never should have got it. That dude's like, that dude sucks.
Your daddy's not here anymore.
But it's not the same. Like, it used to be, like, I think Priest was the last cash in that felt like ultimate opportunist type.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because there were some years there where, like, they would tease it heavily, and you're like, bro, this is supposed to be a surprise. Like, when Braun Strowman had it, and he was like, dude, like, he walks down and the Shield comes up. They never talked about if he won or not, like, or if that was his cash in.
No contest, apparently. You can lose your cash in on a no contest.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Bullshit. Anyway, lads. right. We'll let yours go. Thank you. Like, this is great. Thanks for, like, coming on and putting it all together. Wes, thanks for coming on, like, late in the day, mate. We'll have a catch up soon, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Amazing. Right, look after yourselves, guys.
Yeah. And maybe we'll see each other all for SummerSlam. New York, potentially.
Never know.
We'll never know.
All right, Vaughn, real quick, where can everybody check you out on your socials?
You hear me? It's on Twitter/X at 301 King Von Jr. You can follow me on Instagram at Mr. King Von Jr.
Brilliant. Thank you, Vaughn. And please hashtag join Fantasy Faction. Check out our socials at @_FantasyFaction. And if you have any interest in fantasy leagues with regards to pro wrestling, check out everything on there. All right. Thank you all.
All right.
Nice. Peace.
All right, cheers, Vaughn. Thank you.